Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio.
Hi, we are excited to be here today to talk to you about one of our favorite subjects, which is lighting.
Yeah, mine is more about natural lighting, and Amity's is about all the fun decorative lighting.
Yeah, that's right. So I'll start off talking about why is lighting important, right?
So we can see.
Yeah, so we can see for mood. Doesn't it do some chemical things for us too?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I think it does. So it's very important. It creates a mood in the space, and that's where you want to think about the different types of lighting you want in different spaces. So maybe, Diane, you could start first talking about natural light and bringing natural light into homes, and then I'll jump in with more of
that. Yeah, so, and we kind of talked about that when we talked about last season with the windows on two sides of a room. And I think we also touched on Claire's story windows. So that bringing in all the natural light just really makes a room feel so much better. And, you know, we talked about some of those rooms where they just had a single window on one wall and usually doesn't feel quite as good, but better than nothing. But, you know, I was just in a house this morning punching it at the right. This is happens right before you move in.
Right. This is where you make the list. We call it a punch list of items that need to be shored up, corrected, done, finished before the client can move into it.
And of course, we have lots of windows, so it looks the quality of light is just wonderful. And we were switching lights on and off, checking to make sure everything works and all that some fun stuff. And actually, there was some lights where the bulb on one was different than the others, which we have this problem now a lot with LED lighting. But luckily, these bulbs are able to just open up the bulb and fix it.
Yeah,
whatever Kelvin temperature you want.
Yeah, there's some magic fixtures that you have three settings and you can choose whichever color temperature you want. And then the trick becomes that you have to go through the whole house and make sure they're all at the same temperature. And sometimes I'll go somewhere to a party or an event and I'll walk in the room and it just slaps me in the face.
Yeah,
the color temperature is wrong. And it's, or it's one temperature color and amount of color from the kitchen and another from the dining room. And then you've got the natural light coming in and it's a madness and it just drives me crazy. So,
yeah. So because we have so many windows in all these rooms, we really don't even need lights during the day.
That's nice.
Which makes me very happy.
Yeah. So that tends to be the way that an architect can help address lighting in homes. And I always say, you know, this is just an aside really, but for most of our projects, we do our own lighting plans. We work with the architect to come up with our lighting, whether it's recessed can lights or flush mounts or sconces, where will they go? And then we make sure that we have outlets where we need them for plug-in lamps and side table lamps and things like that, floor lamps. But there have been projects that I've worked on. I don't know if Diane's had this issue too, where we've wanted to bring in a lighting designer, someone whose specialty is understanding all of the elements of how many lumens per space, more about color temperature, and just more options.
Yeah, I've definitely worked on projects where we have a lighting specialist consultant come in and they'll specifically design certain lighting and temperatures and light, well, talking again about the warm and cool temperatures and Kelvins and all that in a room so that it's optimum to what the homeowner is wanting. And so, you know, a lot of times also then they have that whole system where you can have it all connected to your phone and you can dim everything and control everything that way, which some people love and some people don't. But it's just, it is an option out there.
It's something that I find people, when they find out it's an option, really love it for when they're traveling and they want their house to feel like it's being lived in.
Right.
So I have run into at least one project that I realized partway through I was a little in over my head as far as lighting design because I just didn't know what all the options were. So my advice is whether you are an architect or an interior designer, don't be shy about reaching out to professionals in any field, whether it's AV design or HVAC design or lighting design, because we know a lot, but we don't know everything. And sometimes there's more to learn, and it's all in the end. Sometimes it's just about knowing who to ask. So that's an important – it's an important area. So, yeah, you need natural and artificial light to have a successful space.
Right. I think that is the key. It's definitely having that balance of all of the natural light. Because also at night it's dark, and then you still want to be in your space and enjoy it. So then it's going to be, as you we talked about, the mood. It's going to set a mood when you turn on those lights. So if it's, you know, I guess, Amity, you can talk about the difference between like wall sconce lighting versus surface lighting, can lighting, so, task lighting.
A lot of different options. Yeah. I love to think about it as the basics are kind of ambient light is maybe the under – well, that can be task too, but it can be sort of the light that comes from the walls, maybe wall sconces or floor lamps that give off light in all directions that are maybe a little taller and give light off everywhere, sometimes pendants or chandeliers. And then task lighting is more maybe under cabinet lights in a kitchen for when you're chopping or looking for things, cooking, being able to see at the task you're working at, reading lights.
Or maybe at like a desk lamp.
Desk lamps, right, reading lights, desk lamps, that sort of thing.
Help offset the glow of the computer.
Yeah, you want ambient task and just making sure the color temperature is right. So when we say right, everybody has a different tolerance for different color temperatures. I like 2700. Other people like something cooler that looks more like outside light, but I would be careful with that because it can be uncomfortable indoors. Outside light looks great. Outside, when you bring it in, sometimes it can make colors feel a little off.
Yeah, right. It does affect your room color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the paint colors, et cetera. So that's another reason it's important. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is the different options for how to approach selecting lighting for your home.
Yeah, and I know whenever I'm working on a plan and I know you're going to be the interior designer and I'm just doing a quick plan to get pricing, I always try to make sure I have lots of wall sconces.
Lots
in
of
there,
wall sconces.
Because I know you love them.
Well, let me make a pitch for wall sconces. They don't take up any floor space. You do have to be able to get around them when you're walking through the room. If they give light, they can light a whole room without taking up any floor space or hanging from the ceiling. Maybe the ceilings are really high and anything you put up there would be too far away to really have an effect. And I know a lot of people don't like table lamps or floor lamps because maybe they have kids and dogs and people running through the spaces and they don't want anything to knock over. So it's a really useful way to kind of light a space. Sometimes it's nice to have picture light to hang over a piece of art, or sometimes picture lights just hang and shine on the wall and show the beautiful texture of the wall or wallpaper or whatever it is. So there's just so many great options out there.
Yeah, I know you always like to put them in the foyer.
Yeah.
And then sometimes in the living room and then also the bedrooms.
Yeah, sconces by the bed. And I even like sconces mixed with table lamps, which is mind-blowing to some people. But I love a good reading light next to the bed that you can – maybe an articulated arm that swings over. And then your favorite style bedside lamp sitting on the table next to it. So I think that people don't need
to
be –
So the wall sconce is actually the reading light.
Yeah, or vice versa. Maybe one's just decorative, but don't be shy with it. It's when I start talking to clients about that, at first they think, oh, that's going to be busy. Or then I'll show them images of rooms where that is the way things are lit. And it's very successful because really what you want is variety of lighting for different types of living.
Yeah. And the thing I find most annoying is when you're just trying to read and you can't see it all. And
right.
You just really need that brighter light. Of course, now we all sometimes read on our Kindles or paper whites, but
yeah. The other thing I do, and this is a good tip, is when I walk into a space and maybe I'm meeting a client for the first or second time or I'm there measuring the space to start working, is if I am having trouble visualizing kind of where they may need lighting, I try to think of the space and what it must look like at night. And boy, when you start doing that, you realize, wow, there is just not enough light in many, many homes. They're all – a lot of people live with just ceiling lights, maybe can lights in the ceiling or one ceiling fan with a light kit.
Right. That's awful.
And it looks fine during the day when all the windows are open and it's even beautiful. But then you imagine what do you do at night? And then you ask them that and they say, yeah, it's really uncomfortable. I don't really know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Light is the answer. So I'll just briefly go through. We do custom lighting a lot of times. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to ask a little bit more about the wall sconces in bathrooms with the vanities.
Oh, yes.
Because a lot of times, I mean, they look so pretty, but really doesn't help you see everything to cover up whatever makeup you're running on or, you know.
Yeah, when you have a light above a mirror, up high above your head, sometimes that can create shadows when you lean in to put your makeup on or you're shaving. Whereas if you have sconces, like, so that's a sconce. Essentially, it's a wall light above the mirror versus a wall light, a sconce light down low on either side of the mirror down near your face. It tends to be a more successful.
Oh, okay. So then that still gives you enough light to see to do everything.
Yeah, and then you have it on a dimmer. So always important to put as many lights as you possibly can, in my opinion, on a dimmer. Mm-hmm. So you can control the amount of light coming out of the bulb at any one time. And all the LEDs now are dimmable. Remember back when they weren't?
Yes, right. And then sometimes we have clients that want to do the makeup, telescoping makeup mirror or something from the sidewall too.
Yeah, as soon as you start losing your eyesight, those are wonderful to have.
Yeah.
See the truth.
So there's a lot of lighting decisions that go in each of these rooms. And I know that you spend a lot of time thinking about that, which is why I try to just overkill on the plan to make sure we can try and get it covered for budget.
Yeah, because they're paying for the wiring of the light fixture and then the fixture itself.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit more expensive, but it makes for a much more livable home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to think about my husband has a photo studio essentially in our home. And so he has a bunch of different color temperature lights going on in his room because they look different to the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something you have to really talk to your clients about how they use their space. So custom lighting is one solution to some of these lighting choices. And I think a lot of times people get scared of that when you say, what do you mean by custom lighting? And what I mean by that is we build or make the light fixture ourselves.
That's fun.
It is fun. And it feels really like it's going to be super expensive or crazy, but it isn't necessarily, because you're just buying maybe lamp parts. You go to a lamp.
I was going to say, do you
shop.
Have like a little workshop in your office that you?
No, we design it and then we just bring in makers. There are plenty of people who can make light fixtures. A lot of places, if you're looking, vintage lighting places, they have to know how to wire and fix lighting, and they can put lamps together. Whatever you bring them, an old shoe. they can make anything into a lamp, but sometimes it's just a matter of creating a really great, beautiful custom shade and putting a bulb in it and a diffuser.
Yeah, so for the shade, like, are you're thinking, how do you figure out which material for that?
Yeah, I think it's about just wanting to, first of all, visit maybe with the shade you like the best, lamp shades, a shade company, and then the companies will send you swatches of the materials.
Mm-hmm.
You can make them out of just fabrics that you like. One thing you want to be careful of is a lot of times people think they love the idea of using blue on for lampshades or blues and greens tend to make your skin tone look not great.
Oh, okay.
So you want to be careful about that. You want to look at it with a bulb underneath. Reds are pretty. Pinks are pretty. Yellows are pretty. Creamy whites are pretty. Sometimes even oranges are pretty, but not so much with the blues and the greens that tend to make you look a little.
You know, in my previous life before residential, I worked in a commercial firm and we worked with a custom light company and they did it all out of different metals, copper and silver, and just all kinds of really fun stuff. And then they would really play with how they could cast shadows and with cutting slits in the design of the metal and everything.
I love that. So. Yeah, so don't shy away from it because it can be really fun. And then you can just think, where do I need the light? Meaning vertically in the space, where do I need it? Left or right in the space, where do I need it? How do I get it there? Is it a pendant? Is it an arched wall sconce that reaches out into the room? Is it putting a pedestal table somewhere that you could put a lamp on to get light where you need it? So kind of thinking in 3D and getting lighting where you want it is important.
And when you end up coming to the thought of you're going to do a custom light? Is it because you necessarily can't find the right thing you want in order to function the way you want it to?
Yes. The first time I did it, it was just about not finding the right scaled shade for a space. And then once you do it and you like your own designs better than what you can find out there, and sometimes it's more affordable, we'll make it that way. When I used to work, I worked in the Bahamas for a while. It was less expensive to buy lamp parts and assemble lights once we got down to the island that we were working on than it was to ship the lighting. I hope we weren't breaking any customs laws. That might have been the reason. The other thing to think about is vintage lighting. I mentioned vintage lighting places, but I think one really great way to bring integrity and interest to a space is by using vintage lighting, maybe period lighting.
Mm-hmm.
I know Diane and I have met with clients that have done that on exterior spaces, and maybe their house is of a certain period. Maybe it's a Spanish style colonial. Mm-hmm. So having a light fixture that is clearly a vintage light fixture can really add a lot of integrity, I think, to the space.
Yeah, there was that one house we worked in, and we went down in that little basement and found a box of the original lights.
That's right.
We were very excited. And we just had them all kind of
– from the 20s, I think, or 30s.
Refinished and mm-hmm. rewired and put back together, and they looked fantastic.
I think vintage lighting is – because you can fake it. You know, there's a lot mm-hmm. of places that make throwback lighting, but it's just a little fresh. It doesn't really look authentic sometimes. So that was fun,
mm-hmm.
finding
Definitely.
All the little crystals and yes. hanging them on the light.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing I like to say to people when we're thinking about lighting in a space, maybe there's a big room and the client might say, well, I don't really use this room to its full advantage at night because it's dark, or maybe we're arranging furniture in the room and they say, oh, I never sit over here. You know, it's the moth to a flame thing. If you build it, they will come.
Right.
If you put a lamp, a reading lamp or a table lamp or a wall sconce in a space, it will draw people in. Don't you find that's true, Diane?
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And it's really important because we draw all this and think about the scale. And that is one thing I often find people don't realize to think about at all. You know, mm-hmm. they go and they fall in love with this lamp and they see the picture on the page. Well, then we read the specs and it's 12 inches in diameter and the room is really large and, well, that wouldn't look good.
Or, actually,
I mean, you really have to pay attention to that. It is so easy to mess up the architecture or the interior design.
Absolutely.
With bad lighting choices.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so important. I cannot. In fact, I guess it's kind of a pet peeve of mine. People ruin it with bad lighting.
It's like the whole Spinal Tap thing where they draw the image on the napkin and then they send it up. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
No.
People will understand. It's about scale. We have had clients order light fixtures from Europe, and they've looked at a picture of it online, and it's really, really cool. And like Diane said, they didn't read all the specifications, and they're imagining hanging it over their island and that it's going to be, you know, 28 and 36 inches wide and be this beautiful. And it comes mm-hmm. in, it's 6 inches
mm-hmm.
wide or
yes.
12 inches. And you really needed 4 of them attached.
Right.
And then you've paid shipping, and then they have to be rewired because they're from Europe. And these are very big issues.
And trust me, this happens quite often
mm-hmm.
because people just don't realize it. So it's so important. And so we'll go in and draw them in the room and, interior elevations and floor plans to figure all that out.
Yeah, it's very true. Once we get our plans from the architect and we're working on a project, and we see that we have addressed and discussed with the architect where we might want to add lights or take away lights or do a different type of lighting, then we go through the process of selecting the light. Then it goes back to the architect or whoever's doing the drawing on it, and they scale it into the drawing, just like Diane said, so that you can see how it feels in elevation, so you don't have a light that's too big or too cumbersome
mm-hmm.
or too small, even worse.
Another thing I always check is like, what the light bulbs are. Is there 1, 2, 3? How bright mm-hmm. is that light fixture going to be? So, yeah, you might spend all this money thinking you're getting this light and it's got a tiny little Edison bulb or something and you were going to put it over your island and kitchen island. You can't see anymore.
We had a client once that wanted a beautiful light fixture with a little Edison bulb for their powder room, and it was such a cave. They couldn't really see their face at all. And we had to start all over. That was
very moody,
more moody than you really want. So, yeah, I think that is the importance of balance of light in a space. So you want brights, highs and lows, mediums. You want the ability to raise the lighting with a switch or lower the lighting so that you have more of a night light kind of feel. Maybe under cabinet lights get dimmed and used as night lights at night. Mm-hmm. So you can go downstairs and get your milk and cookies or whatever it is. But you want a variety of types of lighting in a space.
Yeah, it definitely helps. So talking about ceiling fans, which we deal a lot with in the Texas climate.
Yeah.
It's hot and we all have ceiling fans. And it's always interesting. I always have to ask people, do you like fans? Do you want fans? I get absolutely hate them. Don't even put them in there. I've got the people have to have one, you know, so it just totally ranges. But that's another thing that needs to get sized.
Mm-hmm.
Making sure that you don't go put some tiny little fan in a larger room or too big a fan in too small a room. And you're mm-hmm. just like, I'm in a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we like to check that by drawing it into the plan and also looking at the specifications. There are specifications for these things as to how much light a room needs. There are calculations. I mean, a lot of this we know intuitively because we've been doing this a long time. We can look at a room and know how to light it. But if you don't, that's where a lighting specialist becomes really handy. And for fans, yes, we've had those big ass fans that people love.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if you put it on a screen porch that's not big enough, you're going to get blown away when the fan turns on.
Yeah, and the scale feels awful.
It doesn't feel good.
Yeah. So if you kind of want, let's say one person wants a fan, has to have a fan, the other one hates it, what do you do in selecting that fan style type color?
Yeah, I think sometimes people are just offended by how they look. Other people just don't like the air on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the not liking the feel is harder to rectify.
Yes,
because
definitely.
That's when you say, hey, how do you feel about oscillating fans that sit in one corner of the room? But we have done that before, where we'll do a corner mount a fan that mm-hmm. sits up in the corner and blows more directly down in an area. Again, this is Texas, and you know, people need to be able to sleep, and a lot of times it's related to whether or not they can sleep with that wind blowing mm-hmm. on them. But mostly people inside prefer their fans to disappear and
right.
not be decorative, just sort of mm-hmm. do their job and blend into the ceiling. That's harder if your ceiling is not just white.
So if it's white, you just want to pick a white fan?
Probably, yeah. Okay. And if it's – and then maybe you have a lot of beautiful nickel finishes, and maybe you want nickel that tends to disappear too, and mm-hmm. so does chrome, whereas some of the more woody kind of tones stand out a little bit more. Again, it just depends on the finishes in the room, but there's a lot of things to consider. And it's interesting too – this is just a side note – that sometimes people who really like traditional finishes and traditional plumbing and hardware will like very modern, contemporary, efficient-looking fans. So they tend to be outliers. They're harder to choose for people than other things, I find. I'm going to go through my list here of different types of lighting. Sconces or wall lights. See if Diane can think of some I forget. Pendants and chandeliers. Let's talk about what a flush mount is, Diane, and the difference between a flush mount and a can, because people confuse that.
Yeah, it's easy to not understand mm-hmm. all this language.
Mm-hmm.
So a flush mount, let me see if I get it right, is something that is surface mounted, but
right.
the lens can be flush with the ceiling.
Yeah, so we usually call a flush mount something that just sits flush to the ceiling. The escutcheon or the back plate sits flush to the ceiling, and it can project down or sit almost even with the ceiling,
mm-hmm.
whereas a recessed can light, which is next on my list, recesses into the ceiling. And we talked about this during our code discussion. In closets, you want a flush mount that has a little bit of a drop that comes down lower so you can get light out. You know, that's something that comes up a lot. It's complicated, too, for closets because people alternately want a beautiful dressing area closet with a chandelier, but
mm-hmm.
sometimes those chandeliers don't give off enough light.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than digging through your closet and you can't see.
No, and sure, it's pretty, but not if you can't see. So that's a big thing. So let's see, flush mounts, fans with lights, can lights, under cabinet lights. Let's talk about that. there used to be a time back in the day where, you know, you would see those puck lights stuck up under cabinets,
mm-hmm.
or you would even see strip lights mounted under cabinets that you could see mm-hmm. when you're sitting down looking at the end. Now we tend to recess those into the cabinets. We'll recess the strip lights, or no more puck lights at all, just recessed in LED strip lights of whatever color temperature you want. And that's where it's really important, because you're lighting food. You want to make sure it looks good to eat too.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't see it at all when you sit down. You can't see up under there because it's hidden, which is kind of nice. And then exterior lights, which I think Diane deals with more than I do.
Yeah, really. A lot of times I'm helping place where they are, but so are you, because mm-hmm. you help select them,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Making sure that everything's pretty well lit outside. And yeah, that again, the scale is so important.
Same thing, you know, an 18-inch tall light fixture scaled in a bathroom is a whole different thing to scaled to the universe.
Yeah, right.
When you have it outside, mm-hmm. it can look tiny. So that's important. One thing that I have sort of some favorites for exterior lights. I love stair lights, where the exterior stairs mm-hmm. have a little light on each stair or every
other
stair.
Yeah, that's always very helpful.
Because it's just so nice. Maybe you've had a few too many and you're making your way to the car, but hope somebody else is driving. Or maybe you're just not wanting to trip. Or I just love the way they look when you look outside.
Mm-hmm.
And tree lights.
Yeah, lighting the landscape is really nice too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, another thing that's become really popular is the gas lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
And so just making sure you have the plan set to put the gas in. And maybe they want them out at this, you know, a lamppost, or they want them either side of the front door. They're very, very popular right
now. I've had clients get their heart broken if their house has not been plumbed for the gas to actually be a gas light.
Mm-hmm.
And there are faux gas lights too, aren't there? Electrical lights. Pretend to look like gas.
Yeah,
uh-huh. Those are not as successful. So
you mentioned ceiling fans with lights. So a lot of times people hate those. What's the best solution on those, do you think?
Oh, yeah, good point. I didn't come back to that. I think not having them is probably the at all. There's the kind that are integrated into the fixture itself.
Yeah.
And then there's the kind where the bulbs are on arms and come down from the light.
Mm-hmm.
And those actually give off better light, but they're ugly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're almost always unattractive. Not always, but almost always. And so people tend to not like those, even though those give more light. So to me, I feel as though there is a lot of work out there to be done to have successful integrated fan lights. That just doesn't really exist yet. Sometimes if that's the only overhead light that's going in a room, maybe a kid's bedroom, I say do it. It'll help you a little bit when it's time to clean or to find things.
Right.
But you're going to need additional lighting as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's my favorite drum to beat, which is not too many can lights in bedrooms.
I tend not to like them. They feel like eyeballs in the ceiling to me, but some people love them.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to care about eyes looking at them.
Yeah.
But then I've had people tell me that the ceiling fans seem like swords hanging above them in bed, and they hate that too. So everybody's got, you know, there's no perfect answer. Everyone is different. We all have different ideas of what we like and don't like.
Right? Yeah. All right. So mostly I think just take lighting very seriously and know that it really has a huge impact on your mood and how you use your home.
So. Mm-hmm. And don't forget about custom lighting.
Yeah. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio.